You are tuned to XL Radio with Baby Zan, here for a huge episode with Aarti Jadu. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. XL Radio is a weekly podcast celebrating cultural heritage and diversity in music. I've been really excited about this episode for quite a while. Aarti is an incredible musician who I have been kind of furtively following around Melbourne for a while now. I first saw her perform at The Retreat about a year or 2 years ago, and I was incredibly blown away, a little bit lost for words. And ever since then, I've been trailing around after her, watching her perform both as a solo performer and with ensembles and in collaboration with other artists. Once the fantasy of the real gig comes back to a reality, I would really recommend seeing her perform live. It's an incredibly immersive experience. One that I can't really put words to. And so it was an absolute delight to have her as a guest on this show today, both for an interview and to curate the playlist for today. A track from which you are currently listening to, this one is DD by Khaled. Out of Algeria. Bit of an interesting story on this one. In 2015, Khaled was actually convicted for apparently plagiarizing DD from a performer, Shib Rubber, in 1988. It took quite a few years in court before Khaled was able to procure a 1982 audio tape with his original song on it to prove it was originally his. I listened to the original song myself, just to make sure. And yes, they are quite different. We're going to jump between conversation and song today, with the interview taking place in the backyard in the sun. For any of those ambient noises noted, as usual, you'll probably hear a garbage truck rolling past at some point during the interview, because that seems to be my new style. To start with, Aarti and I talked about some of the tracks she had selected today.
I kind of wanted to make a playlist that encapsulated my world, my sonic world right now, because it is slightly different to everything that I listen to. So a lot of the time it's quite ambient, quite bass heavy, or edging towards techno or punk or something, but and lots of ambient synthesizer music has been part of my world right now. The first one was a small excerpt from a set that I did with a vocal ensemble I'm a part of, and it was a tiny piece that we took out of White Night when we did 7 sets in a row, which took us from, I think, 7 p.m. till 3 in the morning. That was such an incredible experience of relentless singing, creating on the spot, getting really delirious, and then also just bonding with the other girls that were in the group. So khayal means imagination. It was a word that I learnt not only from my from knowing Hindi and Urdu, but from my experience with Indian classical music. Khayal talk is called imagination, so it's about reimagining a key or a flavor into your own voice or into your own instrument, and pulling it out of its traditional set. So in the same way, it's like a vocal ensemble, but it can get pretty weird and it can get pretty ethereal, and nobody knows what's going to happen. We just kind of set off, somebody starts a drone or someone starts a little idea, and then we all have to follow it on, or we challenge that idea and go into something else. So that's what that is.
Did the long form production of it help you guys change your creative process? Like, was it being like 7 hours long, did that lead you guys to kind of change how you were performing over time by doing it for so long and getting like delirious and exhausted, but also probably like comfortable
With each other? Yeah, it did, in a way. Like, I think we haven't had that opportunity, and I like these ideas of long challenge, like long durational pieces where you set yourself into this place of like, oh, I don't think I could do this, oh my god, by the time it's 3 o'clock my voice is gonna go, and just see what happens. And I think for this idea, everything that's conceptual and has tight boundaries, like this one was about flames and light, so we would take some inspiration. This one in particular had inspiration from the burning Amazon, because that was topical at that point. And looking at like heights and variations and perspectives to give more color to the performance.
Is it about like endurance for you, or about that you feel that over like a real long form performance you tap into something else that you don't get when you're just doing like an hour-long performance?
I think there's potentially more invitation for practice to happen and for deeper listening, and it kind of weeds out an attitude, not just people. It weeds out like an attitude out of people to go, I'm here for some junk food. It's like, nah, you're here for a long time, and you sit with it, and you just give more opportunities, more times of breathing in and out to like be there and explore, either, you know, as a musician or as an audience member, that concept. But yeah, I think practice is such a beautiful term, or process, you know. 8 hours, I think that was, it's like when you're playing ambient music or atmospheric music, the time it takes just to say one sentence in like music form, like in musical instrumental form, it takes a little bit longer. So I guess you're just creating a bigger palette for it as well.
Do you do that in your own personal practice as well? Like take or put effort into putting a really large amount of time into your own personal process, even when it's just for you?
Yeah. I haven't released much music because of that, maybe. And also a lot of my passion lies in slow everything, slow fashion, slow practices such as somatic movement work, making really audacious films, or, you know, really large sets, like 8-hour gigs and such. And also learning Indian classical music. That's a lifelong process as much as, I don't know, anything. Yeah.
How long have you been learning Indian classical music for?
I think around 7 years. And I'm only chipping at it, really. Yeah. It's been more sporadic, and I think I'm getting more serious about it, or more excited about spending a lot more time in that.
Yeah. Now. Is that also quite process-driven, or more end-based?
It's a self-inquiry, so it's more a philosophy, such as, like, similar to yoga or meditation or even art, being an artist. Yeah, I don't know if it's quite like a thing about getting, you definitely have goals, but you don't have like these products. I can't really name the track sometimes, you know. When somebody performs something, it's about the rag or the composition sometimes. Sometimes it can just be a scale or like a rag that you're embodying for a particular time and you're exploring, and that's it. Like it's not yours anymore.
Is this training you've done with vocal techniques or instrument-based as well?
Just vocals, yeah. In Indian music, the vocals is the primary instrument as well. So I learned from a flute teacher, from a bansuri master, and they, even tabla players or any other player, then they will start with singing. They'll have some sort of training in rhythm and vocals.
Yeah. So you've been doing it for quite a while, but tapping in and out of it. Was this something you started like in childhood or picked up in your later years?
Yeah, it was later years, yeah. My parents didn't really listen to Indian classical music, which I found quite, like, I don't know, it's a bit weird. I wish they did, because it's so deep and I would have listened to a whole lot more.
Do you know why they don't as much as you do?
I guess they were into contemporary music of their time.
Have you been exposed to devotional music through them as well, or that isn't something you've tapped into as much as Indian classical?
Yeah, devotional music's probably, if I could encapsulate like everything that I'm doing into one term or one study, it would be devotional music.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I grew up singing and exploring my voice with. So I'm forever grateful for that outlet. It came with so many lessons of how to be a human being through that practice. And sure, the rag system and the Indian classical like study, like the science of music, definitely taps into and crosses over with this. So it does bring about a few different like influences in my life, like yoga as well, where it's correlating with our body and nature, and it's way bigger. But devotional music is so accessible and so broad, you know. There's so many varieties, and I think that's where it starts to cross over into expression, which then eventually comes into performance. But it does stop there. It doesn't ever really give the ego too much if you practice it in the way that's like the most appropriate for everybody.
Are you able to talk about how you were first, I guess, exposed to it, either through your family or through your own exploration?
I was introduced to it through the Sai Baba organization, which is a group that my parents were a part of. You could say a religion or a cult, pretty much the same. And that benefited us so much with kind of, I don't know, sometimes I feel like it was a bit pushy, like you just have to kind of do performing arts and do this and do that. But it definitely created character, strength, endurance, creativity, like all of those things in people that, yeah, didn't have a chance of that community and that sense of exploration or embodiment. And music was such a huge part of this group, because it allowed you to just trance out and come together in an abstract form, I guess, like in sound. So I remember singing from maybe the, I don't know, as early as I could, like maybe 3 or 4, I don't know, maybe I sound like a little baby at that point. And then eventually I found that I would stay in the hall where they would sing, even though other children would try and like go outside and play in the car park and whatever. I just wanted to stay in and sing. And then a couple of my friends at the same age group would do the same. And we would have been around 12, 13, 14. And then that really, I noticed people would cry sometimes hearing my voice, and I would feel something in me sometimes where I'm like, yep, I totally understand what just happened in, you know, in a feeling way. Yeah, and I realized how precious it was to use the voice and to sing for people. So this is De Plata by Rosalía. I hope I said that correctly. I'm super inspired by this artist, by their bravery for showcasing a raw sense of their culture, and in a way that's perhaps a little bit blasphemic. Like, I know a lot of flamenco artists would definitely hate what she portrays and gives the world, but she's phenomenal. She's a great pop star for Spain.
Get trenza.
I selected a classical piece, an Indian classical piece in the rag that I've recently been drawn to, which is Darbari. I've had maybe two lessons or one lesson in that rag and really excited to explore it more.
Oh,
Process of collaborating with Indian classical and electronic music?
Yeah, I think it was very confronting for me to share, and it still is confronting for me to share, like, bits about myself inside. There's a lot of, like, shame, I guess, this weird feeling of shame for no reason whatsoever about the sound that I create and who I am. Even to this day, there's, you know, it's really interesting to see people try their best to accept Indian culture as being just another cool thing to explore. And it's either tokenized or it's spiritualized or it's seen as like this really dorky, geeky thing. And that, for me, was stepping into a fear zone and going, yeah, that's who I am, that's what I know, and that's what I can offer. So this process has been going on for, like, many years. I hope to reach a sophisticated place between the two where it's not, it doesn't sound like one or the other, but it's just me And I don't think I necessarily will stay in electronic music. It's just another, you know, timbre and thing that I really love and connect to and need to explore because of, I guess, being one person, not being a group all the time.
So, yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of Caterina Barbieri throughout this isolation period and before, as well as other, you know, purely synthesizer-based music. I find that instrument connects so nicely to the voice, where it can be, yeah, like fully manipulated to whatever you want. It starts with something quite pure, and then you take it into, yeah, you have to really will the sound to be created and to be manipulated into, say, yeah, like a misty day or a gritty sound, and the voice can do that too.
Thank you.
Do you find when you make music with your vocals and synths, is there like an even collaboration between like your vocals responding to the synth or the synth responding to your vocals? Do you kind of mix between the two, or is it usually one comes first?
I have to explore that instrument more to have that sort of relationship, but yes, I definitely use it like a pure synth sound or just pure frequency to actually practice my and train my vocals. There's a technique where that's called sur sadhana in our Indian classical practice, which is sadhana meaning your devoted, you know, ongoing practice that you do for a long time, and in this case you're observing pitch. So even down to like the practice of like moving the voice so it can be so close to one frequency and holding that, that's where my relationship with synth and vocals start. Where one is so organic and hard to control and the other thing is so controlled and pure where it sounds revoltingly like that. And yeah, I think in that way I would love to move more into exchanging between those two instruments and saying, okay, synth, can you sound like organic and like a voice? And then the opposite way, you know, voice, can you do what the mind or what the brain is telling you to do?
I know you spoke last time I interviewed you on PBS about how Indian cinema has been an influence for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you've found from, I guess, yeah, watching films a lot growing up, or something you've gotten into more just from like a soundtrack level?
Yeah, it was hugely, you know, it was such a part of my family life. We would bond on a regular basis, maybe even, you know, 7 days a week, watch like a movie. And then slowly I had to, you know, do other things in life and not watch so many and start to pick and choose and really go, oh gosh, some of these films are such a waste of time. But for a lot of my upbringing, that was the entertainment my family chose to have, and especially my parents. I didn't feel comfortable like watching a lot of Western cinema. It was too, yeah, it was just so uncomfortable for them to see that much violence or whatever it was that was put out there. And so the cinema, Indian cinema, was this sort of beautiful escape thing for them. And so I guess as a child wanting to also be up to date with what's current and what's like, you know, what your friends are listening and looking at, I tend to find really incredible bits in the songs that were in the films that were just actually so damn cool, like just so weird and rare to find that in other forms of contemporary music. I like drama, I guess, like a lot of my work has this sort of melodramatic moodiness to it, and that I would say is thanks to my influence from cinema music. And I also really affiliate with the idea of femininity and really strong, deep feelings, like the concept of duende or...
You're part of it, babe.
Yeah, sweet.
Oh, the old garbage truck.
The old garbage truck. Gotta love him.
I feel like every podcast I've ever made during quarantine features either my neighbor's lawnmower or like the garbage truck being really? Like, thanks guys, keeping me real.
Yeah, so good.
I think the garbage truck is a good interlude for us to jump to a track by Mod Rafi and Asha Bosley.
Mm-hmm. चमन शोला बदन पहलू में आ जाओ
वो मेरे दिल मेरे हमदम बाहों में आ जाओ
हर जान चमन शोला बदन पहलू में आ जाओ
वो मेरे दिल मेरे हमदम बाहों में आ जाओ
मदहोश है जिंदगी चारों तरफ बेखुदी मदहोश है जिंदगी चारों तरफ बेखुदी थाम मुझे मैं गिरा लहराए दिल की लगी जाने चमन शोला बदन पहलू में आ जाओ
ओ मेरे दिल मेरे हमदम बाहों में आ जाओ
चमन शोला बदन पहलू में आ जाओ बादल से बरसे नशा बिकी हुई है फिजा बादल से बरसे नशा बिकी हुई है फिजा
ठंडी हवा जब चले ठंडी हवा जब चले कांपे है दिल का दिया मेरे हमदम बाहों में आ जाओ
हर जान चमन शोला बदन पहलू में आ जाओ
हर वो मेरे दिल मेरे हमदम बाहों में आ जाओ
जान चमन
Some of the music directors that I'm really into in Indian cinema, like A.R. Rahman, who's well known in the Western world for making music for like Slumdog Millionaire and I think that 127 Hours film, stuff like that. But his work and Sanjay Leela Bhansali and... Oh gosh, there's so many awesome music directors. Their primary role is to create something around a story or around a film. Like it's constantly conceptualized and then also at the same time is like pleasing so many different moods. there's just so much to get from that.
Is this something you still keep up with now? Not as something you do with your family, but just in your everyday life?
Yeah, I feel often that I want to just watch an Indian movie and I'll say that. There's definitely like a nostalgic, and it's now become like something that I need to do once in a while. Yeah, just to connect. It also excites me when there's like a really fucking good story or there's a really good like soundtrack that comes out of it. It just feels like it's more exciting than like having just another great producer in like the global scene. Like something specific from there, because yeah, it taught me so much about, like, I learnt how to understand Hindi through films. I probably can't speak it properly, but with that sort of connection to a form or a, like, genre, and when something amazing comes out where it's rare and it can be quite like a waste of time and corny and whatever, it's just, yeah, it's really cool. Really feels, you feel proud, I guess.
Last question, how have you found in having such like a focus towards slowness in life, reconciled that with being an incredibly successful musician who is constantly doing so many projects and playing so many gigs and leading what I guess just from the outside looks like a very fast-paced, busy life?
Thank you, that's very flattering. Those tags and labels are, yeah, thank you. I don't know. I think I make a mockery out of it in the same sense. Like I have so many slow practices, so that doesn't actually, that's just ironic. And I had to really face that recently, that I'm not making enough space for process, for space. And space is, for me, like the epitome of the entire thing, like existence and everything. And if I don't have time for that, then yeah.
Such a huge thanks to Aarti for those incredible words, incredible tracks, and some beautiful conversation. All links to where you can listen to her music will be posted in the show notes, alongside the track list for those songs we heard today. We're currently listening to 13th Month in Three Movements by Kalman Duran, which I'm going to let immerse us for the last 6 minutes. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. I'll see you next week. I'm Baby Zan and this is XL Radio. My heart keeps one praise for me.
Here we go, him dog, them no loyalty. When I think just make a call for me. body get you make it cut perfect. Here we go. Getting dark, there's no loyalty. When I think just make a call for me. Second round, the other boy can't bring me the slap and make it cut. Don't care.